Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Tuesday, July 26, 2022. Stan Dale is out. He's not feeling well. And send him your prayers. Send him an email, telling him you're thinking about him and you're praying for him. So with me today is Randy Taylor. And I just want to start off with this. Do you remember when the definition of a vaccine and vaccination changed? My goodness, we can go through this. Let's see. Vaccination was static. That definition was static for a number of years through 2011, actually 2015. And then they tweaked it, or they could have twerked it, but no, they tweaked it. But ultimately in the 2020 timeframe, the 2021, they changed the definition to better suit the fact that the injection does not provide any kind of protection against catching the SARS-CoV-2 bioweapon, all right? The coronavirus, right? So the COVID-19, as they call it. So they had to change the definition of both vaccine and vaccination. Now, here's the latest. You're going to love this. the regime, the people in charge of how they lay everything out, they're changing the definition of what a recession is. It's not a recession that we are experiencing. It's a transition. Words matter. Definitions matter. And of course, we're not going to put up with this crap any longer. We can't put up with this any longer. We cannot. So I'm going to bring Randy Taylor in right now. We're going to talk about this and many more things, including the revolution in the United States. It's coming. The various findings about the injecticide, whether it be from Dr. Judy Mikovits, Dr. Jane Ruby, Mike Adams, who's got his own ISO certified lab looking at certain things. We're talking about the bioweapon, which is not a conspiracy theory, and the bioweapon structure, infrastructure, including places that collect your DNA. And the climate takeover, which is a reference to, of course, the fact that, you know what? The World Economic Forum is now calling for an end of private car ownership. Okay, you're never going to pry my 71 Ford Pinto from my cold, dead hands. No, I don't care what it is. Seriously, bad idea, wrong idea. And who in the hell do you think you are? Meaning the World Economic Forum. And, of course, in the bioweapon and the response to that venue, you've got Fauci, that garden gnome, admitting he lied over and over again about natural immunity to the SARS-CoV-2 virus, kind of like his work with AIDS, now VADES. Okay, anyway. So, anyway, Randy Taylor, how are you, sir? You there. Is this thing on?
The rest of the country, but I'm doing fine.
Wait a second here. I'm not getting him. We have a problem? Oh, okay. Now I got you. Okay. Let's do this again. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Oh, let's do subtitles. No, I'm doing fine today, sir. Just sitting here watching this ridiculousness that we call a Democrat administration rewrite the dictionary, you know, for us adults that don't know what these words mean. They have a habit of doing this.
The fact that a vaccine goes from an attenuated virus that protects against contracting a specific disease to, well, it just prevents the severity or decreases the severity of whatever. They must think we're a bunch of morons. And now this, well, it's really not a recession. It's just a transition. Let's just change it. So what's a depression then going to be? I don't know this.
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know what rolls around in that little peanut there in the White House inside that guy's brain.
Two monkeys and a banana fighting over a banana is what happens there. But it's the people behind him, obviously.
Yes, he's just a mouthpiece, and he's not even a good mouthpiece.
No,
but, this is how they've been doing this. They're doing it. Google's rewriting everything. Recession has changed. You know, this whole thing with the shot. Every time they get pinned down on it, the story changes.
Yes.
Every time they get pinned down. And I was watching that Burks or whatever her name was.
Yes. Lady.
She basically came out there and flat just told it like it was, that all along they knew this wouldn't work.
Yeah, we're the conspiracy theorists, right?
Yeah, but that's all we are. We're the tin hat people.
Right.
This is our leadership. This is where we're at today as a nation. We're in deep trouble.
You know, we are. And yesterday we talked about something. You brought this up. And I wanted to drive this home with our listeners and viewers right now, because I think this is so important.
Especially when you're feeling all alone out there.
Especially when you're feeling alone out there.
I thought I would preface that.
I'm glad you did. And for reasons we won't. But anyway, revolution in the United States is coming. You know, people talk about civil war, okay? I'm okay with civil war to the extent that I shouldn't say I'm okay with it. I'm resigned to the fact that some people are so dug in and they're so dogmatic, they're so overbearing against you and I that there's no talking to them. So how do you deal with people like that? But a revolution is something a little bit different. That's against the country. Now, this is what you brought up yesterday. If we can put the Breitbart story on the screen, and this was hanging out there for a few days, but for those people who kind of sort of said, nah, you know, this doesn't sound right. And I want to thank Eric the Tech for all he does. There it is. Poll. Nearly one-third of voters believe they may have to take up arms against the United States government. Randy Taylor, you cited this yesterday. Mm-hmm. And as it turns out, the poll showed 33% of Republican voters and 35% of independent voters believe it might be necessary to take up arms. This out of 1,000 who were polled, registered voters, in a poll conducted from May 19th to May 23rd. So there you have it. What do you think? I mean, so is this us?
Yes, that's us. And I would say that those are conservative numbers, because a lot of people aren't going to just say what's on their mind. A lot of people are still hesitant to speak up. So actually, I would say those are conservative numbers. I think it would be a little bit higher, actually.
It's kind of like answering those or posting on forums. Hey, show me your or Sunday gun day. Show off your guns. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Those geniuses.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just went out and bought a new pink 45.
Yeah.
There it is. Yeah, great. What was your address?
Wait, I can't quite get that serial number in that picture there. But there's the article right there. And folks who are listening to this, so Republican pollster Neil Newhouse and Democratic pollster Joel, what is it? I can't read that.
Joel Benenson.
Okay. So with input from students at the Institute of Politics, conducted the survey. So I mean, this is off, could be off by maybe 3.5 percentage points at most, this according to The Hill. So, okay, I'm feeling this. So, but see, what would this look like? And Randy Taylor, this is kind of what I want to get in with you a little bit, because I think people are starting to wake up. I think that more and more people are saying, wait a minute, there's something wrong here.
You'd have to be asleep to not see that there's something wrong.
Or just in denial. I've watched people in denial.
They're so indoctrinated too.
Yeah.
The media has programmed the population.
So
absolutely.
What is this going to look like? Because, and what's going to be the regular questions, same questions every time we talk about this? What would be the precipitating event? What's this going to look like? Who's going to be involved? What's the risk? I mean, if you want to,
it's like any revolution, any event could trigger it. Any event could trigger it. It could be as simple as them doing a red flag call on a house, you know, going after a legal gun owner. Something like that could start the whole thing. I remember the difference between what you were just saying was the difference between civil wars, citizen fighting citizen, where if it was more of a revolution, it would be most people going against the government.
Okay, so we have... We have a January 6th commission. We have patriots in prison right now. We have Steve Bannon facing a sentencing. You've got Alex Jones being totally wiped out in terms of that whole situation. Sandy Hook show trials there as well, or where he's being stripped. He could be wiped out completely. You've got so many things taking place, but none of those things
have triggered an event.
No. And the J6 prisoners, really, the shooting of Ashley Babbitt, that should have been the shot heard around the world, in my view.
I don't know. I think that we probably should have reacted stronger to the people being locked up on January 6th.
Perhaps,
even in hindsight, this is a difficult one to dissect. There will be something will happen, though. It's inevitable. It's 350 million people. Think of all the interactions between the government and citizenry every day. Some form of the government. It could be something could start at a tax collector's office. You don't know. A traffic stop could start. You just don't know what the trigger will be to start, you know, to start that fuse actually burning. When it does explode, though, I really don't know what it would look like. I mean, I know in previous situations where people have taken up arms against the government and throughout history and all, it's messy. But as far as, you know, an exact place or time, target, I don't know. Something's going to happen, though, because they keep kicking the dog in the corner. You can't keep kicking the dog. Kick the dog. Sooner or later, that dog's going to react.
No.
And it's going to happen. Okay. I mean, that's human nature.
One thing that with you, I know that you're back and forth. I know that you, I don't want to give too much out, but I know that you are back and forth between U.S. and Canada. So at various times, you're never in the same place once, you know, at the same time. So having said that, you were around the, I know this because we spoke, when the truckers were in Ottawa. I'm not saying you were in Ottawa. I'm just saying you were around there. Okay. As well as across from Detroit there, across the border. The way the Canadian government reacted, the fact that they ran over people with horses. Yes, mm-hmm. that did happen. They froze bank accounts and took money.
Yeah,
if you that just didn't gave the, stop. The, that yeah, didn't start the, it up there.
No. Well, now I will say this: Canadians are far more laid back than the U.S. They're far more laid back people. I don't know why, but things are getting a little hostile up in Canada too. Trudeau's overstepped his bounds. They have up there. We have a constitution, a bill of rights. They have a charter of rights. The funny thing is, his father brought the charter of rights in, Pierre Trudeau, when he was the prime minister. And now his son is walking all over that charter of rights. Those truckers, there's truckers still, just like January 6th, there's truckers still sitting in jail. Okay. He also illegally asked the military for assistance during that protest. And he said, and his safety minister or whatever said repeatedly that law enforcement asked for it. They can't produce one person in law enforcement that asked for that level of assistance. They've actually went into similar to a War Measures Act up there with really no provocation. And what their big thing was, they were upset because the truckers shut down the border. You know, they shut down the bridges. That's fine. If Trudeau had gone out and met with them when they were in Ottawa initially,
right,
that would not have happened. But the cowardly little Cuban boy was hiding. I can't say he was hiding with his wife because she can't stand him either. But
like father, like son.
Yeah, he wouldn't come out. His dad was gay.
Yeah,
well, as I recall, that's
the cuck, which is, brings us Justin Castro, right?
Exactly. Yes, Castro was the sperm donor, I believe, in that case.
Right.
Along with probably hundreds of other men. But anyway,
how do you separate? Never mind.
Yeah, how did you separate that DNA? It's all in the picture. But anybody. And it was a big deal, and people were donating money for food and things like that for the truckers. And they actually went back through people's bank accounts and were arresting people and freezing bank accounts for giving donations to those truckers. Ooh. This is it's crazy.
What's that woman up there, Christine Freeland, right? Christy Freeland?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah. And that unfortunately is who they think is going to be the next prime minister. That girl is of Nazi blood. That's not. I'm not just saying that. That's not like it's just a slap in the face. That's a fact.
Okay.
Okay. She comes from Nazi blood, plain and simple. Okay. This is some chick that used to be a blogger. Okay, and suddenly ended up in this position.
A blogger.
A blogger. She has no. experience, education, or anything that's related whatsoever to politics. None.
Oh, man.
She was a blogger. Okay. Well, if you look at his cabinet and the people that were elected up there, the Liberal cabinet, it was like on-the-job training because none of these people knew anything about their jobs that they were being put into. Nothing. The government was up here floundering around for a year while these people were trying to figure out, you know, which one was their butt and which one was a hole in the ground. You know, they just, it was ridiculous. And this is what happens when you're doing when you do PC politics. This is what happens when you have like Dick Levine.
True.
Okay. You're just filling spots with people that have no business in that job. Oh, though, I think we should have a black person in there. Oh, I think we should have a female that has leprosy in that one. Where do you guys come up with this stuff? You know, that needs to be filled by a trans. What happened to qualifications?
Yeah, merit.
Merit. You know, like you earned your way.
Right.
That's out the window, and that you can't run. You can't run your life like that. You certainly can't run the country like that. And that's what they're attempting to do. And it's a It's a sick joke. What you want? What we watch in the States with Biden and everything? If it wasn't so, if lives weren't on the line, it would almost be funny.
Well, yeah. You
know, to what with all the gaffes and everything that Biden does, and all the stupid words that come out of that guy's mouth. I'm embarrassed, and not because he's a Democrat president. Okay, I'm embarrassed because he's the leader of the free world. That's where I'm embarrassed. That this, no wonder we're in trouble.
That's,
yeah, you know, I don't understand. You look back at Biden's history. We look at his he used to flat call black people by the N-word.
Yep.
In open session.
Yes.
As a senator.
Yes.
And then and today he acts like, I never did that. We're his friends. It's like denying Hunter Biden, denying that he had any words with Hunter Biden over his lap, over their business in overseas. I know nothing about his business, really. And then you sit there and you, and I would love to know, where did that recording come from? The voicemail. Yeah.
That came from his, okay, so. To be very clear on this, so there's the laptop, and then there's additional data that came from the iCloud storage,
okay,
which was both connected to the iPhone and laptop. Okay, so somebody hacked the iCloud storage and got additional information on that.
I would love to see the laptop. I know that.
I know. Yeah. And I've got two copies here. You know that. Well, not here.
I know.
But so possession of just one of those copies, unless you're Hunter Biden, is probably a felony. I'm just going to.
Probably. But, I've got a bunch of stuff in my possession. It's probably a felony at some time or another. No, anytime you're gathering evidence.
Yeah, of course.
If you're not operating in an official capacity and you have that stuff on you, I can make you a bad guy.
Remember
down
when
been down that road. I mean, there's people doing serious time for stuff on their computers that isn't an iota of data that we've gathered over the years. But the good thing is, see, we're out in plain sight. Well, maybe that's not good. Maybe that's not good anymore. I don't know. You used to be able to. You always, in the past, you always had the ability to do the George Stephanopoulos and hide in plain sight.
Yes.
Smartest guy on the planet. That's why he's still breathing. Okay?
That's true.
He stepped out of the darkness of Clinton, okay, and stepped right into the bright lights of mainstream media. Where he was safe. Anything happened to George Stephanopoulos, and don't tell me he doesn't know the secrets.
If
you cannot tell me, yep. You got it. He knows what happened with Vince Foster. He knows everything that's been happening with the Clintons and going all the way back to their land scams back in Arkansas.
Speaking of Vince Foster, I just want to toss this out there. Serendipitously, when I was in Washington, D.C., I did stop by Fort Mercy Park and took another look around there. I was there right. I don't know. I can't remember. Not too long after they found Vince Foster in Fort Mercy Park. But,
Go ahead. I'm going to say in our country, Doug, nothing's going to change until there's a degree of accountability.
Well,
we have to have, we could whom? Not like, oh, anybody, the Clintons.
No, I mean, who's
going to bring it to bear? That's the problem. You could have all the evidence in the world.
Right.
Anymore and set it in front of a federal judge and things get distorted and tossed. That's the part that's puzzling me is there was a time and you were always raised this way that. If you told the truth will set you free and blah, blah, blah. And then there would be somebody there that would listen and justice would be served. that's not the case anymore.
And
I would really, and I would love, too. I would love to have our country back to the way it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
And the only way to do it is we'd have to clean house. We absolutely have to clean house. Yep. Our only way to get out of this mess, and it's only a step in the right direction, are the midterms. That's only a step in the right direction. Because let's say we took the Congress and took Senate. Okay, let's just say that. Hypothetically, I don't think we'll get the Senate, but let's say we did. There was a time when Trump was president and he had the houses.
Yep.
And all we did was piss it away.
Yep.
The days of just pissing it away are over. And these people that are running for government and running for these positions at the midterms, I don't think some of them even understand the degree of accountability that they are going to have with the American people. That's how bad things are. This isn't, we're not 1974 and having an election. This is 2022, and there's been a lot of political bloodshed. And when you think about that, those people, they better hit the ground. If we get what we want, they better hit the ground running. They better start working at 12:01 that night, because we're in the weeds. We're in deep trouble. This country has got one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel, for lack of a better. I'm trying to stress how deep in we are. And there's been, don't get me wrong, there's been times and periods and throughout our lives politically where we looked at, man, things are bad. They've never been as bad as they are today, and they're visibly bad. They are visibly bad to even the most the person that's most ignorant of politics. You know, there's some people that actually walk through life. I have neighbors like that. They don't care. They don't even vote. They could care less. Oh, what's going to be is going to be. And there's people that go through their life like that. It's not scary. I don't know how they get anything done, but they're still here, so we're doing something right. But
and listeners and viewers know people like that too, right? Oh,
absolutely. And they know people, even if not a neighbor, even in their family, that don't care.
Right. And folks, we beg of you, look, to hear over the last few days, Steve Bannon, Alex Jones, even Alex Jones, others like them saying, please vote. We know the problems. We get it. Okay. But vote. Make it so overwhelming they can't. It would be so blatant. The cheating would be so blatant. Even though it's blatant now, 2,000 mules, I get it. Let's just keep fighting.
And Doug, the trigger you spoke of, could be the trigger.
Exactly.
The next election could be the spark that ignites everything.
Okay. Excuse me. Well, speaking of that, what if the January 6th committee would come out and send out something to the Department of Justice to indict Donald Trump, or to make it so a resolution is passed where he could not run for, or something is done where President Trump could not run for his office again, the office of the presidency again, because of the insurrection? Go ahead.
Doesn't he have the right to face his accusers in court and defend himself?
Oh, you would think, right? No.
See, this is like a
grand jury. I mean, you know grand juries.
Yeah.
I know grand juries. Okay. Right. Grand juries, there ain't no winning in a grand jury. They drag you into a grand jury. you might as well kiss your...
I think the grand jury is a formality. They've already decided they're going to rip you a new one.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
You know, it's that at that point, that's just ceremony.
So look at the January 6th committee, and this is a good topic because this could be the spark, like you talk about. This could be what would happen if Donald Trump is prohibited from being on the presidential ticket. Do you think? Look, if nothing else, I don't care. Even if it was Biden, okay.
But my question would be, we'd have to go back to based on what? They have proven nothing at January 6th.
But they don't have to. We got prisoners.
That's the part that blows my mind. You know, another video popped up yesterday that I had not seen yet, but they were talking about some guy named Baked Alaska or something.
Yes.
What's the one where he's signaling to open the doors and someone opens the doors?
Okay.
And the question is,
yep.
Who opened the doors when he signaled?
And those, just to be clear, those doors are held by electromagnetic magnets. And if you ever have one of those, if you ever experience one of those, we have on our main studio door, it's pretty powerful. Those are 2,000 pound plus magnets. So there ain't no getting through those. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's just yet another video that shows up that offers no explanation. And why is he free as a bird?
Well, why is Ray Epps out there in his Arizona ranch? I'm asking the question.
I think Ray Epps was a UC for the FBI.
I do too. Given that's my opinion. Yeah. That's our opinion, right?
No, I would say from his behaviors and the way everything, how he's right in the middle, but then walks away unscathed. That's
right.
That's why when there's a bust, you want to be as roughed up as the other guys.
Make sure the people understand this. New people, what's a UC?
Basically undercover. They also go by, you know, informant. Call them that. Some people get offended by it. They called me an informant once because I was working for FBI, and I blew up.
I like this one. Let me take you back in time. folks, you want to see Randy Taylor, like, you know, want to see smoke come out of his ears? Hey, Randy, who's your handler?
Oh, I don't have one. I don't. No, I'm not some animal in a cage. No, they came. It was hilarious. I remember when JTTF was at my house. This was funny. I got to tell you this story. JTTF, three guys from JTTF come to my office in Florida. And I'm like, well, this isn't a good conversation to have at the office. Let's go to my house. Well, I had some cats, right? And I had a couple of cats, and they were peeing on everything.
Wait a second. Yeah. Let's bring the JTTF to your house, okay? All right, that's fine. They're at the office, but come on, guys, let's go to my house.
Let's go to my house. All right, well, see, I wanted to get them there because I had recording stuff set up. Anyway,
right.
So we get to the house, and like I said, I had a couple of cats that like to pee all over everything, so I had plastic on everything. Well, these guys that were in the JTTF, they had just wrapped up basically taking the mob apart. So I opened the door and I said, come on in. And I remember they stopped outside and they looked and they sat there and they looked in the house. And then they looked at me. They wouldn't go in the house. They thought that I was going to have them killed as soon as they went in the house because there was plastic on everything. I laughed and I laughed and I thought I was going to pee myself laughing.
Oh my goodness! I know.
I don't know if I'd ever told you that story or not. It was pretty funny.
Actually, I heard it.
But yeah. they call you a confidential informant,
right?
CI, and that's a typical. And they I remember them telling me while we were sitting there at the table, oh, we've done this a million times, and I was going to be CI-001. And I'm like, yeah, you guys have been at this a while, haven't you? And I told him, you ever, ever call me an informant, I will cease relations over that. I don't like that word.
His folks, I would tell you his code name, but I can't, because that would be that'd be against the rules. But
Dexter Morgan.
Dexter Morgan. Oh man, but see, okay, so you've seen
that Epps guy though.
Yeah,
there's something wrong there.
Well, there's something wrong when you've got military at January 6th in embedded within the crowds. You've got setting that up too, and you've got hundreds, if not 1,000 feds. You've got members of Congress actually working with the feds to set this up. So there's a whole lot going on here, brother.
And really only the FBI could pull it off on that scale.
Yes.
There's no other little, you know, they say, well, you know, Pelosi was in on it, but only to a degree. I mean, she can only do so much. You have to have to pull off what was pulled off on January 6th and to flip everything back on the Patriots like that. That absolutely is pure FBI. Pure FBI. They did all the logistics, everything on that. And there's people out there like Epps that we don't even know about that haven't even hit our radar screen.
You know, it's interesting.
That were there that day.
Right.
Because right. I'll tell you, yeah, how many people got locked up, Doug? 400. How many people were locked up? My point is, though, there were way more people there than that. And in that other mix is you got a lot of feds in there. You look at the videos of the crowd, study people, watch people. You can pick out, you'd be surprised what you can pick out just by studying a video. Just look at the crowds, watch the crowds, watch the behaviors of people, watch people that run up and down stairs with communications to people.
Khaki pants.
Yeah. Well, there you go. There you go. Pretty much like the Boston Marathon. And nobody's ever explained that.
Yes.
No one has ever explained that to where I would look at it and go, okay, that's the truth. No. Who were the other ones there and how did they know to be there?
Good point.
There were people at that Boston Marathon. Now that one I called right off the book. That one I knew was checking because they had done an assassination in Chechnya of a leader with a bomb, basically at the finish line. It was a parade.
That's true.
That is pure Chechen style. So, and bear in mind, I had already stopped doing this stuff, and my phone would still ring, and it'd still be people on the phone going, "Hey, man, what do you think?" And I called that one right off. First words out of my mouth, I said, "This is going to be Chechen related."
Right.
Why do you say that? And they're all pointing out people on the roof. And I said, no. I said, look at your history. People, pay attention to history. Pay attention to history. And it was Chechen. Turned out it was Chechens.
Right. The Tsarnaev brothers. And for the people who don't recall, that happened annual Boston Marathon, April of 2013, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 2013. But
that's the thing. Once you would get into the groove with us, and you and I had been doing that by that time, 10 or 11 years.
Yeah,
and we have studied the Al Qaeda manuals and all that stuff. We've studied that stuff. We know how these people operate. That's why they use people like Doug and I at that time was, and I'm not going to say that we were that accurate as far as predicting, but we almost could predict stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Events. We predicted the London bombing. That was in writing. That was in writing out on the internet.
But it had to be
the next day.
But it was based on intelligence that you found or that was found within the proper spheres of conversation, mm-hmm. of interaction. Right. Mm-hmm. So, okay.
Yeah. And we had actually got good at it. I mean, we studied them. We figured out how they were using Windows desktop backgrounds for signals.
Oh, my goodness.
And that was, and how simple was that? And, you know, and it just started, right. It just, but once again, analysis, looking at things, you got to, here's the things. And then you watch, just look for that one little dip in there.
Yep.
What caused that dip? And that's where we go to, that dip. And we look for that. And I honestly, Doug, I miss doing that. It's just, I won't work for these people.
Well, are the people that we are now looking, okay, for example, because people need to know this, okay? You've got the FBI, you mentioned. Peter Strzok, what a pillar of morality that numbnut is, okay? You know, he's poking Lisa Page from the Department of Justice, the lawyer there. But Peter Strzok, he's the guy behind the takedown of Donald Trump on the FBI side, or at least one of them. I shouldn't say the one behind him.
He's one of the facilitators, definitely.
But now Strzok's wife, Melissa Hodgman, who is Biden's associate director of enforcement at the SEC, is involved in the SEC investigation of Trump's Truth social media platform. There's nothing to see here. But see, this goes back to my question. When are people going to say, friggin' enough is enough? This is not right.
Yeah, it's like the whole government's at war with Trump. But who authorized that investigation?
Oh, the Department of Justice.
But for what? To what avail? To what end? Well, you know, this is ridiculous. And everything they're doing, the people that they're accusing aren't being allowed to present their side of the case. The whole Russian collusion thing. Yeah, the whole Russian collusion thing, though, since it was proven that it was bullshit. Okay, and I'm sorry, that's what I just said. But since that's what it came up to be, that was the Pandora's box to so many other things that you actually would have to go back. If you eliminate that portion of it, the Russian collusion, that makes the rest of this whole deal fall apart where they went after Trump. Because that was the stepping stone. That was the catalyst. Well, it turned out the catalyst was crap.
Wait a minute. Say that one more time, that sentence one more time, because I think I missed something there.
That was the catalyst.
No, before that. What was it? What was the catalyst?
The catalyst was that report, the Russian collusion. The
dossier.
Yeah, for all the trouble in Trump's presidency, which I thought was crap to begin with. Who cares if he talked to somebody from Russia before the election?
But
I would rather elect somebody that knows foreign leaders.
Okay, so the parts of the dossier, though, you got the PP part, you know, which is just stupid. And then you got but preceding that, the Alpha Bank servers, which was a Hillary Clinton creation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Why aren't these people in jail? Why isn't Hillary Clinton should not be out walking around breathing the same oxygen I'm breathing? What she's breathing should have kind of a musty smell because it's called a jail cell. That's where Hillary Clinton belongs. Okay.
My mind wasn't going there, but go ahead.
But once again, here's the problem. Who would ever throw the book at her?
See, and okay, now hang on, because this goes to our initial discussion. And folks, mm-hmm. you pipe in too. Type comments, you know, and put them, yep. Leave them in. Okay, so what would happen to the left if the right or the political right went after Hillary Clinton and actually did indict Hillary Clinton or even Hunter Biden? Would that be enough for the left to say, okay, we're taking up arms against the Department of Justice if the DOJ did that or the AG out of wherever
did that? I think they would run scared. Now, you're talking about the regular on the street guy?
I don't know who I'm talking about anymore.
No, but if it would be an awesome blow to the left if we were able to put Hillary Clinton in jail. That would be a great blow to the left. But the point is, she has so many people that apologize for her.
And she's got so much crap on others, yeah.
Well, and that's the thing, because you remember the famous thing where if I go down, everybody's going down.
Right.
Whatever happened to that? I would have acted on that, because when she said that, that was an admission of guilt. When she said that.
That was a spontaneous utterance, which absolutely can be
used in court. But it was an admission of an admission of guilt, yep. and I would submit it in court. But you got a good idea of the BS level in the two-tier justice system when her main attorney was dragged in, or one of her attorneys was dragged into court over lying to the FBI.
Right,
and then, and it was suspect. And then what does the one jury member say? Oh, there's worse things than lying to the FBI.
And Sussman walked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just an indication of what would happen. I mean, if you look at Hillary Clinton, anytime there was a gaffe or something that she had done, like Benghazi, okay? Yeah. When did they start telling us? Don't you remember when they told us that she had a brain tumor?
Oh, she had a hard land. By the way, there's a big story behind that. hard landing concussion. She had a concussion, and then wore those funky glasses because of the concussion.
Yeah, but once again, that was the government actually covering Hillary Clinton.
Yes,
they got her out of the office so she couldn't be attacked, you know, politically or legally, and then all of a sudden, she's back on the scene, no brain tumor, nothing. Everything's hunky-dory and sticking it to Trump.
Except she was having those seizures.
The very fact that she paid for that dossier, she put her behind bars.
Absolutely.
Look at the hundreds of millions of dollars that was spent over events that were created solely by that dossier. The whole Robert Mueller thing.
Yes.
That investigation. I know what they told you it cost. It cost more than that.
Exactly.
And the harassment of people to question them. And the whole thing of going after a sitting president. It blows my mind. If there was an insurrection, the insurrection occurred during the 4 years that man was president. That's where the insurrection was, not on January 6th. January 6th was a day of reckoning. It was a day of accountability for the vote. That's all it was. It was a demonstration. It was a protest. They tried to make it like it was the beginning of a revolutionary war. This is all completely fabricated. Liz Cheney, if you people reelect Liz Cheney, you're going to deserve what you will deserve what you get. Liz Cheney needs to be ushered out.
Liz Cheney is up for what, in 20 days, 21 days up for re-election?
Yeah, she needs to go. Folks, she got to go. She has to go.
Interestingly, the top contender against her is Hageman, Hageman. Margaret Hageman against
awesome.
Her. Yeah, so just remember screwed up version of my name and there you go. Yeah.
But look what she's done. The part that bothers me too is all the Republicans that are making January 6th out to be this horrible thing in history. They took something that was this big and turned it into this big.
Right.
And any deaths that happen is the fault of the government. It has nothing to do with those people on January 6th. They didn't kill any of those police officers. If some police officer went home and had a heart attack and died, okay, that goes with the job, man. I don't know what to tell you. You sign the paper, that's what you do for a living.
Beat the hell out of a woman there, killed her.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they interfered with CPR.
A woman, and she wasn't even. She was a little woman. She was a little gal.
There was two. Okay, Ashley Babbitt was shot, and then there was a woman who was beat in the outside.
Ashley Babbitt thing is a complete. That's a tragedy, and that guy that shot her. He should have been brought up on charges.
Judicial should have been. Did you see this? Judicial Watch came out with like 1,000+ pages and some video and stuff. This Byrd guy that shot the 27-year vet from I've got it on my computer somewhere, but he should be in jail. That guy, in my view.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you think about it, look at what they do to a police officer that shoots a thug on the street. They ostracize him. They throw him in jail. You see, he goes home with no pay while they're trying to figure it out. What? How is that any different? Well, that guy's actually doing his job out on the street and is actually in trouble for his life. That guy that shot Ashley Babbitt was not in fear for his life at all. I don't care how you try and stretch that.
Nope.
She presented no threat. If he felt threatened by that, he shouldn't have been in that job capacity. But she wasn't even that big of a girl.
And the video that was released and some of the pictures that were released to Judicial Watch, we should do a program on this because they did a great job of like getting a lot of information. I mean, he muzzled quite a few other people, including some senators in the chamber. He shot with a CERT team behind Ashley Babbitt. Ooh, I mean, that could have turned out horrible, worse, horrible. Or maybe not, depending on your outlook. I don't know.
And my question is, why did you shoot her? Why didn't you grab her and take her to the ground?
Right.
I mean, you know, she obviously wasn't armed. You know, since when did we start shooting unarmed women in a federal government building? There should be a lot of hollering and screaming about that. Women's groups should be up in arms about that. I'm not getting any of this. This two-tiered system that we're dealing with makes it very hard to navigate the legal system, Doug.
Well,
and it's getting more ridiculous every day.
And we come back around we come back around to the question, you know, if we have a two-tiered justice system, which we do, we can't take our grievances we can't get any kind of resolution through the Department of Justice.
We don't have a higher authority to go to.
Right. We have a problem.
God is our higher authority here. You've left us no alternatives. You've left us nothing here in front of us to deal with, to work with. And like I said, I want to run us out of excuses. And can you imagine the frustration of those people that are sitting in jail from January 6th? The frustration of honestly not knowing when you're going to get out?
What a horrible feeling.
Horrible feeling.
I spoke with an attorney who called me on Sunday night. And
that's a good attorney working on Sunday night. I like that.
Well, we have kind of a love-hate relationship, actually, to be honest with you. But he said,
that explains the Sunday night call.
That's true. He said, because we were talking about the J6 prisoners. And he said, where are all the attorneys out there that, you know, could represent these people? I said, what are you doing? You're an attorney? Well, I'm retired.
Trust me, if I had the certificates and the bona fides, I would definitely be down there getting those people out. I would have very wealthy people posting their bond, just like they did with Black Lives Matter and Antifa out west.
Right.
What happened? I'm gonna tell you right now. Portland and Seattle have suffered more damage than anything that occurred on January 6th.
Oh,
and I don't see those people being imprisoned. You saw the video where the cop locked horns with a kid in the subway, New York subway.
Yes.
Yeah, and he's out.
The kid punched.
He's out. The kid's out already, Doug.
Okay, so just so our listeners and viewers know, in the subway, a police officer. I believe the cop was black, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the part that really. And he was going easy on the kid, because I'll tell you right now, I'd have pounded that kid's face in, but he was trying to contain the kid.
Right.
When really, he should have been beating the crap out of that kid.
Well, this kid punched the cop and then took the cop's head because there was a railing involved, and took his head and smashed his head in the railing. And this kid walks free.
Yeah. And you want to know something that really makes me sick? It makes me want to vomit. It makes me want to puke. that makes me sad to call myself an American is all the people that stand around and watched.
Yes, or took video.
Why didn't you jump in there and kick the crap out of that kid?
Yeah.
I've done it.
Yeah.
I have done it. I have assisted law enforcement many times. Many times. I don't even think about it. I just do it.
A few times unsolicited, too.
You got it. And I kid you not. I had down in Florida. They were on their way to court. They had stopped the van. Two of them that were actually chained together took off running. I took off after them. It was easy. I just grabbed their ankle chain and put both of them on the ground. Cops, you know, people running from the cops and stuff like that. You have to assist. You have to help.
Yes.
This is part of it's one cop out there or two cops trying to do their job. And people are more interested in filming it and putting it on YouTube. I'm sorry. Someone should have subdued that kid. If I had been standing there in the subway or Doug had been standing there or any number of the people that we know, we would have put the kid on the ground.
Yep.
Absolutely. I did it. I'm gimped up and I did it outside of a mall here a couple of years ago. Poor security was trying to get the kid on the ground. And unfortunately the kid had a good leverage with his legs. And all I did was walk up and say to the security guards, "Is he under arrest?" They said, "Yes." Boom. I put him down. There's your package.
We need more of that. But in a larger sense, getting back to, I just, because.
Sorry.
You know what, though? No, this is all part of it, I think. The spirit that we're talking about, and this, because I know the people who listen and watch this mm-hmm. show are saying, give me a reason, give me something.
Listen, we've had people say, "Look, Randy, we're sitting here, we're ready to go.
Yeah.
Tell us what to do. And I love you for it. And maybe someday I'll have words of wisdom that I can put in those slots that you're looking for. Right now, all I can do is tell you where we're going and what we're doing to a certain extent. We don't know where this is going to go. God could reach down and change everything in 3 days. We don't know. We have to go for the victories. We won a small victory on abortion. We're winning little victories here and there, but we've got to keep doing it. But the only way we're going to win people, we've got to do like the other side does. You fight fire with fire. We really need to start getting together. We need to get organized, okay? And when Nancy Pelosi decides that she wants to go out to a nice, peaceful dinner with her alcoholic, drunk-driving husband, we need to be at the restaurant. You know what I mean? Look, you ever see the movie Fight Club? Remember when they took over the restaurant?
We're not supposed to talk about that, right?
Yeah, right. It's the first rule of Fight Club. But we have to mobilize. We've got to, and I hate to say it because I always prefer to take the high road, but sometimes you got to get down in the ditch and fight. Sometimes we have to. And I say, if you see them, harass them. They're doing it to our justices. Did you see on the news where they're talking about giving the lawmakers $10,000 and home security and all this is going to cost $1 billion? To provide extra security in the homes of the lawmakers. We're talking about Congress and Senate. What about the justices for the Supreme Court? I cannot believe they were having this discussion yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I'm like,
you just can't make this up.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Why would you protect this group of people, but you're not going to protect, I'm sorry, to me, Supreme Court justices are almost like sacred.
Yes.
I don't know how else to, they're on a higher
pedestal. They're off limits.
Yes, they're off limits. They're neutral and they are higher than a congressman or a senator, as far as I'm concerned, on the totem pole. Okay, on the political totem pole. And I shouldn't say political.
Yes.
Yeah, apolitical. And all right, I messed up saying that. When I say political, I'm just talking about the entire environment in D.C.
Right.
Okay. Collectively. This, to sit there and say that I need more security at my house, but I'm going to leave you, who right now is under threat, who right now has people out in front of my house. Kavanaugh, these people can't go anywhere. Now they've gone to harassing the neighbors
yes.
of the justices. Where does this end?
And by the way, a little bit of humor there, though. The neighbors are mostly liberals.
Mm-hmm.
So
if Donald Trump was president and there had been a similar scenario and people were threatening the justices, let's say they made a decision that Donald Trump didn't like, he would still protect those people.
Yep. I would hope.
He would. He absolutely would. He never.
Yeah.
I have a lot of respect for Donald Trump. And one of the reasons is because of how he looks at things. He loves his country. There's no question of that. Is he rough around the edges? Yeah, that's cool, though, because he's not a politician. We didn't want a politician. We wanted a businessman that could come in and help straighten up the economy, get things rolling again to fight the new world order. You know, Donald Trump, if he did nothing else, exposed the corruption of the left. If he didn't do anything else in he did do that. And I hope that history will recognize it. It won't, because they've already written history. History's already been written. They're doing it right now with this January 6th thing. This is a sham. This is a circus. This is a circus event. The January 6th thing is really nothing other than a political soap opera.
And it's coming back in the fall for season two.
Oh, absolutely. And they only did this because of the midterms. The Democrats are in a really bad place right now. Look at how busted up their party is.
Right.
It's fragmented. Look at that. What's the old saying? United we stand, divided we fall. Right now, they're divided. If we keep them divided going into November, we can crush them. My only fear is now we're going to have houses with, not a lot of young blood in it and good blood. People want to get things done. And the rhinos are going to hold them back. That's why the rhinos have got to go. Look at that Mitch McConnell has served his purpose.
Mitch McConnell should be.
He's gone. He should be gone. Out.
Yeah.
Graham. Oh, he served his purpose. Get.
Yep.
These guys are career politicians. They're there for the money and they get off on the power. Do you think they really care about you or I?
No, hell no.
No. Don't think for a second they do. If you do think that, you are foolish.
You know, I maybe Marjorie Taylor Greene, Boebert, maybe a few. But there's so few. Yeah, to me, there's so few. Hold that thought, because I do have to take care of some business, folks.
Yes, sir.
I tell you what, my good friends at lightstream.com/Hagman, have you looked at your credit card statements recently and been shocked by the interest rates? If you have, man, me too. Okay, going through the taxes and such. Oh, looking at the statements and then just glancing. Kind of, you got to squint because it hurts to look at the credit card interest rates. Well, did you know you can actually roll all of your credit card debt into one monthly payment at a lower fixed interest rate? And it makes sense because you can use that discretionary income to pay off other bills or to, hey, guess what? Prep. There's an idea. Lower your interest rate right now and save with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Rates start at 5.73% APR with autopay and excellent credit. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000. And there are absolutely no fees, none. See, count them, none. Plus, the rate is fixed, so it'll never go up over the life of the loan. I like that. There's no, what's it going to be this month? Nope. It's fixed. Lightstream believes that people with good credit like you deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. So just for our listeners right now, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. I like saying that, lightstream.com/Hagman. I'm going to spell it out for you just because, well, just because. LIGHTSTREAM, lightstream.com/Hagman, HAGMANN. Subject credit approval. Rates range from 5.73% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% autopay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. My fine friends at lightstream.com, they'll take care of you. You will thank me later. You're going to be glad you did this. That's lightstream.com/Hagman. All right, Randy Taylor. Randy Taylor at HagmanReport.com for comments, criticisms, praising, marriage proposals. I'm kidding about that.
I need a rich girlfriend. There you
threats.
Go.
mistresses, whatever.
Something.
Something, yeah. But you know,
what I need is a collection of some serious businessmen that want to get something done in this country. So I'll tell you right now, I've gone back, I've studied, I've looked at what's been going on. Literally, if we could get a group of businessmen together and get some people together, got a little bit of fire, about $100 million could guarantee the future of this country. And really, I'm serious. You stop and think about it. Stop and think about it. Okay. But going into the next presidential election, we better get it together. We're talking mobilizing over 100 million people to get things done. We need polls watched. We need eyeballs upon eyeballs. We need people with cameras. We need people filming. This next election needs to be, and forget just those 7 states that caused all the problem before, all 50 states. Because that corruption happened in every state.
100%. I agree with
you. And if you tell me, you can't prove it, I don't have to prove it. I've got enough proof of all the states that it did happen in. And if I just run a percentage game, if I had to just present percentages and probability, then it happened in every state.
100%.
How do you argue with a video?
Well, you know, it amazed me. Bill Barr came out and said, well, I didn't see the same people at the, no.
That's because his head is stuck up his keister.
Right.
That man is a disappointment. That man is going to answer one day for what he's done.
Oh, and
he's going to answer to God, to a higher authority. He's going to answer to God for what he's done.
And he played such a compassionate Christian when he came out.
What a pig. What a pig. I remember getting the live videos from when they were outside his house praying with him and everything. And I still had some faith in the guy at that time.
I did as well.
You know, and talk about getting led to, what a bait and switch.
And Coach Dave called me and said, you know, I think he's going to do the right thing. I think we got to him. And I'm thinking to myself, I hope so. And I mean, Coach Dave was crushed, but
And you stop and think about it. They could have easily manipulated Barr into that position because they're running unchecked right now. If we can't take evidence and present it to a judge and get a decision, I can see him sitting people like Bill Barr down and saying, this is what we're going to do to you if you don't go along with us. And he would have to believe them because the corruption is so deep. It's so rigged.
Okay, you know the inside. People are going to say, well, that doesn't happen. But
crap, it happens. I know it happens. You know it happens.
I know, but people are going to say, well, prove it.
It could have happened. It could have happened to me, except I saw the handwriting on the wall. You've got to. Listen, when you go to trust somebody, you better make sure you know that person. You know, there's only a couple people in this world I trust. That gentleman you're looking at right there, I trust him. I trust him with my life. I can't say that about anybody else except perhaps my family.
All right. His code name was Secret Squirrel, okay?
But stop and think about that. When you rise to a certain point in Washington, in your career, you've done things that probably were questionable. The thing with when it gets to the point like it is now, they're not just going to bring up something that's questionable. They're going to bring up something that's fabricated.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
They're going to, if they want to slaughter you publicly, they're going to slaughter you. And Barr, even when he was, I was watching him when he was talking in there in that January 6th thing, he didn't look comfortable. He didn't look comfortable. So he's over the barrel on something. They've got him over the barrel on something. Maybe they were going to charge him too. Who knows?
You know, you raise a good point. And yesterday, again, kind of going back to yesterday, and folks, if you didn't listen or watch yesterday's show, I thought that was one of the better programs, Randy Taylor, myself.
We had a super show yesterday.
I thought so. A lot of information provided. This is from yesterday, and this is how close we came. Now, you had mentioned something about Donald Trump, and well, I'll tell you, there's some people that really hate the guy, and even on our side. Oh, he can't be trusted. He's this, he's that. Look, the guy made a crap ton of mistakes, okay? I get that. And he's probably still making them, okay? Mm-hmm. But here's the one thing that he did, and this is why I believe they've got to keep him out of office for this reason. And I want to show you this and see if you remember this. If you didn't watch yesterday's show, this we played a little bit of this. We'll play a little bit more or a little bit of this now. Watch this and think and research Schedule F employees. Here it is.
Trump term look like, and you have some fantastic reporting that aims to look at that in very exact detail. And part of it centers around, a lot of it centers around an executive order he put in place. Can you tell us about this? He put this in place. It was rescinded by the Biden administration. It kind of flew under the radar, but this is a crucial element of what it might look like if he is elected again.
Yeah, so this is a two-part series that we launched on Axios Friday and Saturday, and I've been working on this for more than 3 months, basically piecing together all these different aspects of what is effectively an administration in waiting for Trump for 2025. There's a lot more going on behind the scenes than have been publicly reported. And at the heart of all of this is a legal instrument. It's an executive order called Schedule F. And If your viewers haven't heard of Schedule F or hadn't heard of it before the stories, that's for good reason, because it was developed in strict secrecy for most of the Trump administration, at least for the last 2 years of it. And it was only finally issued. Trump only signed it into law 13 days before the presidential election in 2020. And, you know, when you put out some anodyne sounding order called Schedule F amid the craziest election in American history, you know, you could be forgiven for not paying attention to it. But it's actually profound what it does. It allows cabinet agencies to reclassify tens of thousands of career civil servants who have currently under law and have for decades very strong employment protections, because the idea is that these career civil servants, nonpartisan, continue from one administration to the next, regardless of the party of the president in power. Trump wants to fire tens of thousands, potentially at least thousands, of these people that he calls pejoratively the deep state. And what this order allows him to do is to reclassify them as a new employment category called Schedule F. They immediately lose almost all of their employment protections and can be easily fired and replaced.
Okay,
so that's happening there. As you can imagine,
cut that now. That, I believe, Randy Taylor, I believe that is why they cannot allow him back in office, because he would bring that back.
Oh, yeah, he'll absolutely bring that back, and I think rightfully so. We also talked yesterday about the problem that, you know, with loyalty. He had people screwing him at every level. And unfortunately, he put what I'm going to call misguided trust in people like Barr, and people that turned on him. And they turned on him. I think these people are turning on him just to save their own asses.
Yes.
And I honestly think that if they didn't agree to turn on him, that the deep state, for lack of better terms, would absolutely hang him. It would fabricate something. Look what they, if you can go after the president of the United States with a fake dossier and cause all that trouble, can you imagine what you do to a regular citizen or a regular employee?
Of course. We're seeing it every day.
Yeah, but, if the president isn't safe, no one's safe. What I'm not understanding, and this is why I said we've got to get nasty like the other side, there should be screaming right now about Hunter Biden and the laptop and the fact that Joe Biden bold-faced lied when he said he knew nothing of Hunter's business. We have it on tape. You can't get – that's way better than some guy – who was wearing an army uniform, who said he listened on some phone call to the president of the Ukraine and sticks it up our president's butt.
Right.
That's Joe Biden's voice on that message. Plain and simple. There's enough stuff on that laptop to crucify him. Now, I do understand, and I do understand why they probably haven't released a lot of the stuff. Going into a trial, if they do decide to go that route, you don't want that stuff already to, you don't want the defense to be able to cry at, that the evidence is contaminated.
The prosecution.
Right. You don't want them to be able to say that.
Right.
And because right now, I mean, the people in the United States have every right to know everything that was on that laptop.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah. Scratch what I said before. Yeah, you're exactly right. But
they absolutely have the right.
But I don't think that's that laptop, that could have been litigated and should have been litigated. And you know what, though? Think about this. Do you think that laptop, the information, because I know what's on there, and that implicates Joe Biden, Jim Biden, Jill Biden to some extent, but specifically Joe and Jim, his brother, and mm-hmm. Hunter, and a few mm-hmm. others who are not related.
But he's caught in a bold-faced lie. That's the point.
But could they use that now, rather than, we'll say, the 25th Amendment or some other thing, to take him out and to put whoever they
want
in there?
Who's that? You're talking about the left?
I'm talking about the left, yeah.
Yes, they could. Honestly, and honestly, I don't expect Biden to walk away on his own. I think they're going to force him out.
Or carry him out.
Well, that's true. He could bullet or ballot. I don't know. Who knows? But he could die in office. The guy is 500 years old.
Right. You got to cut him in half, count the rings. Right.
You got it. You know, the underwear rings. but that's what his dog's always sniffing. Anyway, if it was Don Jr., Donald Trump Jr., and that was his laptop, let's just rip the heads off of these two, put Trump and his son in these places, there would be such an outcry for heads to roll. Why is there no outcry? But then I look at it, well, this is the voting public that thinks it's cool to kill babies too.
That's a good point.
So when you start looking at it like that, I would say that their moral compass is so far off anybody that would agree with abortion. Is their moral compass is so far off.
They're celebrating it, but go ahead.
Yes, yeah, but they can't. I can't believe a whole country is so focused. We have so many things going on in this world that Kamala Harris gets up there and talks about, you know, women are getting pregnant, and that's a problem. Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
I had listened to that three times.
Yeah, I didn't. I know. You're like, did I just hear that?
Yeah.
She does it all the time. She'll never be president.
Oh,
she's
no.
She's not capable of it. She's in over her head now. She was promoted to her own incompetency.
In my view, she is the Monica Lewinsky of the Naval Observer. I don't know. Never mind.
She could be, but she's a sorry excuse for a vice president. And Joe Biden is one of the worst presidents we've ever seen. I mean, we can go back and pick presidents apart.
Sure.
But this guy always looks like he's going to die with his next stub. You know, I always picture him going to Marine One and just falling on his face. No, I do. You know, and now here's where his hands are really full. I'll tell you why. You look at what's going on. Now he has no choice but to say, fund the police.
Why do you say that?
That's what he's saying now.
But
and that is going against the squad and everybody else. Their party is in shambles, is the point I'm trying to make.
Okay. And you're right.
Party is in shambles right now. They don't even know if they would get behind him for the next election. Now is the time to strike.
That's a good point, because Cori Bush was interviewed and she refused to answer if she'd back him on the second term.
I saw that this morning.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So maybe now is the time.
That is the time to strike. And that's why going into 2022, we never stood a better chance of flipping things than we do right now. Because even the Democrats are getting tired of Democrats. See what I'm saying?
Yep.
And all we need, look how close the race was, the last presidential race was. Okay. And that was, look at what the atmosphere was then. Now look at the atmosphere. Well, you think it was close last time. Yes, sir. It's going to be really something to see. But if we do this right, we capitalize on this, and the new houses, once we outfit them, the new houses get to work immediately.
But when the public, a percentage of the public look at that and say, well, wait a second, this is just a showmanship playback for the persecution of President Trump.
Yeah. Yeah. And guess what?
Who cares?
You had it coming.
That's true.
If that's how you want to play ball, then guess what? We've got the ball. I'm going to hit you in the head with it.
Let's remind people, if we can bring up PDF, President's Emergency Powers, we don't do something. Again, we showed this yesterday. I want to show this again, if you don't mind, because this is a PDF, President's Emergency Powers. This is page 4. This is by Center for Biological Diversity. This is what Biden or his handlers, I know your favorite term, would put in place. Okay, this is the document, the Climate President's Emergency Powers, People versus Fossil Fuels. There's so much wrong with that whole front page. But page 4, if you scroll down, this will give you an idea. Right there to the left, that will give you an idea of what he will do. Basically, stop all import, export. Look at that. Halt crude oil exports. Stop oil and gas drilling.
They could put the country in a life lock.
Oh, exactly. And
we're so close to collapse now.
Yeah.
I mean, when they're talking about doing away with the petrodollar, stop and think about that. I mean, we've had that privilege for a long time that things were bought in U.S. dollars.
Yep.
Oil and stuff like that. We've had that privilege. Okay. They're talking about taking that away. If they take that away, there's a very good chance we collapse.
I don't see any other way.
People, you don't understand. You've taken too much for granted. You've taken all, ever since you were a child, that this is how things are, but we'll always be safe. No matter how bad things get, we're always going to be okay. No. You're looking into the abyss right now. And it's an unknown abyss, but it's an abyss. It's a black hole. We're standing on the edge looking at it. If we don't do something, we're going to lose our country. Get it in your heads. You need to understand it, and you need to preach it. You need to tell your neighbor, even if he's a Democrat, reason with him, win him over. Don't throw crap in his yard and spit on him. Go out there and win him over. I need you to win him over. why we don't want to fight with him. I want him on our side. So your mission is pick out the toughest Democrats you know in your circle and win them over. We should have enough merit as conservative American Christians to win them over.
But don't,
I believe we do.
But don't do it with facts, not memes, not
Thank
fake
you.
Memes.
After we talked about that, Doug, yesterday,
yep.
I really was looking at the memes hard yesterday.
Yep.
And I was like, this is amazing how many people. And you'll look on Twitter, if it's BS, I tell them it is. I tell them this is incorrect. And I'm very nice about it. I just tell them this is incorrect. And they'll get angry with you.
Oh, yeah.
Now, for the sake of, now let's go into deep psyops here. All right. Let's look at it from a military training aspect. I'm okay with those memes. I don't use them. I know better than to believe them. But there's other people out there that don't. It's called propaganda. Propaganda works both ways. It can be used for good. It can be used for evil. Right now, with all the propaganda that's being perpetuated on us that's evil, we need to come back with counter propaganda. So that's why on some people with their memes, I don't say a word. It's propaganda. It's part of a psychological war. And it's the least we can do because physically we're doing kind of piss poor getting out there and putting down the Democrats. We're not responding. We're not. I don't see any Republicans or conservatives standing in Nancy Pelosi's restaurant picking on her while she's eating. Why not?
Yeah, she's home in front of her multi-$1,000 yeah. ice cream freezer or whatever. I don't know. You're right, though.
You see what I'm saying? We need to. And we're just, Doug, we're just two people. We can't. I've had people come back and say, well, you need to organize this. Don't ever email me and tell me what I need to do. Okay, because I'm just telling you, I will send you to the junk pile. Okay,
I
know what
thing.
Needs. I know what needs to be done. Don't tell me what I need to do. At least I'm doing something about it.
You know what? I love that because, folks, you're right. If you're typing an email, never say you need to.
Yeah.
Or you should feel okay because that's him and I both. We will trash that before we get beyond whatever that sentence
yeah,
is.
Yeah, no idea what that, and especially that man sitting in front of you, the personal sacrifices that he's made to create this Hagmann Report, this beacon of truth in this world, the one place that you know you can come to and we're not going to lie to you and that we're not here about sensationalism. That's not how we operate. We're here to give you the truth. We're here to bring some things to your attention that maybe you didn't know about, and we're here to work with you and support. And we ask the same from you. Please support us. We don't do this for the money.
Yeah.
A lot of people think we do, Doug. That's the part that floors me. I don't, we ain't making minimum wage, man. You understand that?
Yeah.
Oh, well, why are we here? Why are we here?
Because
we love our country.
That's right.
Because we give a damn about you. We give a damn about your children. We give a damn about your grandchildren. And we are doing whatever we can right now that's legally acceptable in this fractured society. We're doing what we can to fight. Can we pick up weapons and go to that level? Yes, we could in a heartbeat. At this point, it would be foolish.
At this point, key words.
At this point. At this point.
Right.
Okay? But I can't sit here and tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know. They could start locking up conservatives tomorrow. Guess what? They do something like that, just start pulling people out of their homes, we'll go balls to the walls.
As we guarantee,
as we should, and as the good Lord will bless us when we do it.
And with that, Randy Taylor, I can't believe how quickly time goes. We had a whole bunch of show notes prepared.
We never
him
got
and I.
There.
Never even got there. That's
what
right.
What do you say we do this tomorrow?
Tomorrow, Aaron Brickman is coming on. I'll talk with you later.
Okay.
You're coming back, folks. You're going to be hearing more from Randy Taylor and myself. Guarantee it. And if you like what you see, give us a Rumble a thumbs up on Brighteon. Leave a comment or on Rumble. Leave a comment there on Brighteon or whatever.
And folks, we're trying to do stuff, and when we have to stop and think, you know, can we even ship that because of what it costs? Okay, please, we need your support, and the folks that are supporting us, God
thank
bless you.
And thank you. Amen. And
thank you.
Yes, Randy Taylor, always great, my friend. Man, I'll tell you, great friend. Thank you so much, Randy Taylor. Folks, that'll do it for us tonight. May God bless each and every one of you. Hit your knees tonight. Pray for our nation. Good night.